Hey, when you have health insurance, it's easy to forget about those out-of-pocket costs. Now, that can be a lot of money, but are your medical bills accurate? Now, it's estimated that over 50% of medical bills actually contain errors. Now, HealthLock can help. HealthLock technology securely connects with your insurance and flags any overbilling, wrong codes, or fraud. Now, you can even have HealthLock work on your behalf to get money back from select past bills. Now, to date, HealthLock has helped its members save over $130 million. Check them out online, healthlock.com. Go there today. Now, nowadays, $20 barely gets you a burger and fries or maybe a quarter of a tank of gas if you're lucky. You know what it will get you, though? For just $20 a month, you can get unlimited talk and text and plenty of 5G data from my cell phone company, Pure Talk. Make the switch today, and if you do it today, you save an additional 50% off your first month. They use the same 5G network, same cell towers as the big carriers, and most families saving close to $1,000 a month. Just go to puretalk.com/Sean, that's Sean, S-E-A-N. Make the switch today so you can actually afford that burger and fries. Are you being influenced? Well, if you watched a blockbuster film in the last decade, well, then there's a chance it has been influenced by the Chinese Communist Party. Now, here's the reality. The CCP may be running the largest influence campaign in history. Now, in Hollywood Takeover, brought to you by the Epoch Times, well, investigative reporter Tiffany Meyer reveals how the CCP exerts control over some major studios. Don't miss the most important documentary about Hollywood yet. And for a limited time, you can watch the first 10 minutes for free when you go to the website HollywoodTakeover.com/Sean, S-E-A-N. Hour two, Sean Hannity Show. 72 days, Americans abandoned by Joe Biden behind enemy lines. That would be 85 days since he promised not to do it. And now we even have the special envoy to Afghanistan admitting there are still hundreds of Americans still there. But Joe hasn't talked about it in over 50 days. We've got a lot coming up. 1 week from today, this is getting pretty interesting. And that is what's going to happen in the Commonwealth of Virginia. It'll be, I don't expect that New Jersey is in play like the Commonwealth of Virginia. But if you've been watching the coverage down in Virginia, you see, let's see, they brought in Stacey Abrams, Kamala Harris, Joe Biden, Jill Biden, Barack Obama. Joining us for insight as to what this means for 2022, he is the former chief of staff for President Trump, Mark Meadows, former congressman and one of the founders and past president of the Freedom Caucus in Washington. He's got a brand new book coming out. We just put it up on Hannity.com. It's out soon, and it's called The Chief's Chief. And I can't wait to read the real inside story of what went on. Mr. Meadows, sir, how are you?
It's great to be with you, Sean. And actually, in that book, there's a couple of mentions of Sean Hannity. How you actually sided with the American people to make sure that not only their agenda was the first priority, but to fight for liberty and freedom. But you're exactly right, Sean. What's happening in Virginia is Terry McAuliffe stepped in it when he said parents shouldn't be involved in their children's education. And then, you know, to highlight and suggest that when they get involved, they're domestic terrorists. You got to be kidding me. I mean, most school boards want parents to be involved. You know, the whole PTA was established to have parents and teachers working together. And now Terry McAuliffe made the bad choice. He sided with teachers' unions over parents, and he's having to, you know, the rescue call went out for Barack Obama and everybody else to come in and bail him out. I don't know that it works. It's going to be racist.
Look, Joe Biden now is now in the mid-30s in his approval rating. I mean, he's going downhill faster than anything, and there's not a single topic I can think of. Well, I don't know if I should call you chief or congressman, whatever you prefer. But
Mark, call me Mark.
But I don't think there's a single item I can look to. Afghanistan's been a disaster, and we learned more about that this weekend. The economy's been a disaster. Look at the Putin waiver, and you have to wonder what the hell's going on here.
Oh, you do. Well, you know, and I talk about that at the end of the book. It's a conversation between me and President Trump where he says, Mark, can you believe that it's gotten this bad in just 9 months? And it was 9 months at the time. And he said, but literally when we look at what's happening, whether it's the border or whether it's inflation, or whether it's 13 Americans that lost their lives because of a decision that was made that didn't have to be made, that way, it's unbelievable. And, you know, the other night I was, because I had to comment on it, I watched an hour and a half of TV with CNN, Town Hall, and Joe Biden. Let me just tell you, it was the most painful hour and a half that I've ever had to watch. I can tell you
that. Hey, Mark, do you know how many people watch that show?
No.
1.2 million people. And it was on a football night. And we were way over 2.5 times the audience. And we didn't do anything special on that show. I can tell you that.
I mean, there was nothing special. And quite frankly, some of us had to watch it just so that we could go on Fox to comment on exactly what was happening. Anderson Cooper answered more questions than Joe Biden. Joe Biden continues to turn his back on the American people. And it was just pathetic. But here's the other interesting thing is everybody wants to suggest that Donald Trump it has lost his influence, and they want to point to Virginia. And I can tell you, not only has he not lost his influence, his endorsement continues to be the most powerful thing I've ever seen in politics. And quite frankly, a lot of people, even people who voted for Joe Biden, are wishing that they had voted for Donald Trump because of what's happening to our
economy. There's a new poll out that confirms that today. John McLaughlin, over 20% of Biden voters have regrets.
Of course they do. I mean, well, if they've got a mind, all they have to do is look at their pocketbook. Less money in their pocket. The purchasing power is going further. And what's Joe Biden's answer to that? He's going to knock on wood and hope that it gets better. Knocking on wood is not a plan. I mean, it is just a sad commentary for what's happening. Somebody else, you've said it. Somebody else is calling the shot. We also know they left people behind in Afghanistan. They don't want to talk about it. Each and every day, we find out that there was more to that than what they suggested, you know, here a few months ago.
Well, it's hundreds that you see. The problem with Joe Biden's decision making is everything's preventable. These are self-inflicted wounds. And like Afghanistan, the number one, I got you to be one of many sources, including the president himself, and that's President Trump, and also Secretary of State Pompeo, is that you had a plan that was predicated on, if you do not follow every dotted I, cross T, comma, and period, we will obliterate you. Just like we did just like we did the caliphate, just like we did Baghdadi and Soleimani, et cetera. And also it included America would hang on to Bagram Air Base. It also was conditions based on the ground.
100%.
And Joe Biden watched the Taliban take over larger and larger geographic portions of the Islamic Emirates of Afghanistan. And when he had full control of Kabul, why didn't he withdraw our people, green card holders, our equipment, our allies at the time when it was safe?
Well, and that's exactly the plan, and you're right. You verified it. That was the plan that Donald Trump had. He didn't want one, as he said, not one bolt, not one nut left behind. We needed to keep the air base. And sadly, all of that could have been avoided. The other thing that happened that is not getting as much coverage, they let the prisoners out of the prison, and indeed it was one of those prisoners who actually was a suicide bomber that took the law. That didn't have to happen. And under President Trump, it didn't happen. And you got all kinds of people at the Department of Defense and Joe Biden and all of this saying, well, this was Donald Trump's plan. It was not. And we cover that. I've spelled it out. But you're right. Secretary Pompeo was very clear. It was condition based. And the President Trump at the time wanted to make sure we got out.
But I hear the president in that call or numerous calls with the Taliban leader was brutal and basically said, I will use whatever means necessary to take you out. And I know exactly where you are at this moment.
Well, you're exactly right. I highlight that in the Chief's Chief. I've got it almost verbatim there. And it was just a real chilling silence when you look at what happened. And they believed him because he had taken out al-Baghdadi. He had taken out Soleimani. And when President Trump spoke and said, we're going to make sure that you're held accountable, they believed him. Joe Biden, they laugh at it. I mean, it's weakness, in the extreme that they get to see each and every day, Sean.
Let me ask you this, because if you look at the disaster at the border, President Trump got us to a point, stay in Mexico policy, building the wall, ending catch and release. Joe brings back process and release. It's even worse. We'll have a 30-year record minimum by the end of the year of illegal immigrants. They also get special preferential treatment because there's no COVID testing and there's no vaccine mandates for people crossing the border. And then they get free transportation in the dark of night. And then we're told that's an early morning flight at 4 a.m., not an overnight flight.
Yeah.
And all of this was handled. And then you look at the energy crisis. Joe Biden's now begging OPEC, and we're now taking, according to Senator Barrasso's office, we're now importing more oil from Russia than we are from Alaska. All of these are self-inflicted wounds, and that has a ripple effect on the entire economy.
Well, it does. We went from energy dominance under President Trump to energy beggars under Joe Biden. You know, we were begging OPEC for this, and you saw it early on when he did away with the Keystone Pipeline, but agreed to Russia that they could have their pipeline. So of course Russia is enjoying the fruits of Biden's labor. But it's not just that. It's when you come in with what he's doing on the border, what he's done to jobs. And here, newsflash, in this $3.5 trillion or whatever it ends up being bankruptcy bill that Biden is talking about, build back bankrupt. What he's actually doing in there, they're giving $10 billion, that's billion with a B, to people who have come here illegally. It is a bailout of the American taxpayer dollars. Everybody that's tuned in right now should be just up in arms to see their hardworking American taxpayer dollar going to special interest groups and actually a special group that the progressives want to support.
What do you think of Manchin and Sinema and where they're really going to end up in this?
You know, it's a great question. I think Sinema has actually been holding tighter on the tax part of it, which is not a surprise. Joe Manchin, if he's really looking out for the people of West Virginia, really this money is not going to come. A few dollars in what I call Washington, D.C. bailouts is not going to fix what ails them. And essentially, they're going to do away with all kinds of businesses in West Virginia and across the way. But what they're going to do, Sean, is they're going to lower the price tag. They're going to say, well, we negotiated real hard. But it's a Trojan horse, because what they're doing is putting all these progressive left-wing policies in there, and they're only funding them for a shorter period of time, counting on Congress to go ahead and continue to put the money forward there. This week is going to be the difference maker in all of that. And so if you're tuned in, call your member of Congress, call your senator, apply the real pressure. Hopefully some of the Freedom Caucus and some of the freedom fighters will be able to stop it from happening this week.
Quick break. More with Mark Meadows on the other side. There is a shortage of practically everything in this country right now, and many people are starting to panic, rightfully so, about finding Christmas gifts. I give a different way around Christmas, but I'm not going to get in. This isn't about me. Mark Meadows as we continue. His new book, The Chief's Chief, is out. The link for our first edition copy is on Hannity.com. Let me ask you, and I've not gotten an early copy of the book yet, and now you made me nervous because I'm in it. It ends up I'm almost in every book now that comes out, except I usually don't read it. I end up, because I don't trust the people that are writing it anyway, but I will read yours because you've been a good friend for a long time, and we have a link up. It's coming out soon, The Chief's Chief by Mark Meadows. What do you know, and what can you tell us? Did you get into Anthony Fauci at all? Because now that we realize that taxpayer money was in fact used to weaponize Chinese bat viruses at the Wuhan Virology Lab, something they have long denied. I am shocked that there's not a greater outrage over this.
Well, that's because you're one of the few people, and Fox is one of the few places that's actually covering it. So I do get in. Fauci takes every position on a number of issues, not just on the gain of function. I talk about in the book where literally late one night, we find out that there's this funding going on to the Wuhan lab, and President Trump and I cut it off within minutes of finding out. But Dr. Fauci continues to advocate on behalf of that. You know, what they want to do.
Well, he denies that they did it. I mean, and it's just not true.
It's just not true. And I mean, and even when he went on his apology tour over the weekend, trying to suggest that he had no knowledge of it, there needs to be a real investigation into that. I can tell you there are emails from back in February of 2020 that indicated that there was a real concern about gain of function research that was going on in Wuhan, and Dr. Fauci was part of those emails. You know, now maybe he can say.
Well, by the way, there was one on January 31st that pointed out specifically that it looked like one of the genomes in the sequence of coronavirus. This is the day of the travel ban, 10 days after the first identified case of corona, that he got a note from somebody saying it looked like it was manipulated in a lab.
Oh, and that's exactly right. But you cover that. And then what happens is there's this all out blitz within in hours of that email saying we need to change the narrative. We need to make sure that. And indeed, within days, the narrative was changed. I can tell you the other thing. Dr. Fauci never spelled out any of this when he was in the Oval Office with President Trump. In fact, it was President Trump that kept saying we need to hold China accountable. And now what we see is Dr. Fauci with Joe Biden and them. They want to give China a pass. It's time that we hold them accountable, and it's time that we hold Dr. Fauci accountable.
I don't think they'll hold China or Russia accountable by the looks of it, because I think the whole family's compromised, and that's a whole different issue for a different day. Mark Meadows with us, former chief of staff of President Trump. His new book is coming out soon. It's called The Chief's Chief. If you want a first edition copy, we have a link on Hannity.com. And it's discounted, by the way, on Amazon if you want to get the real inside scoop. This is actually from somebody that was there, not talking to a hearsay anonymous source like most every other book. But it's called The Chief's Chief, Hannity.com. Mark Meadows, thanks for being with us. We appreciate it.
Great to be with you, Sean. Take care. God bless.
You too. 800-941-SEAN, our number. You want to be a part of the program. Quick break, right back.
On a calm October night, Michael and his wife, they were just out for a walk in their neighborhood when their life got flipped upside down, or just like yours could be. Now, Michael was attacked by a homeless woman who stabbed him multiple times before he was able to restrain her and waited for law enforcement to arrive. But what happens next is why our partners at the USCCA exist. Now, while Michael was in the hospital, a detective literally charged him with assault. Now, this is the new America that we're living in. Luckily, Michael was a USCCA member just like me. He used his training, his education, and his self-defense liability insurance to stay out of jail and save his family from potential bankruptcy. If you want to learn proven ways to deter criminals, defend your family, avoid legal trouble, just go to uscca.com/Hannity right now. You'll put in your email. You'll get a free guide put together by the USCCA and the former head of training for the FBI. Just go to uscca.com/Hannity today.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Hey, when you have health insurance, it's easy to think, oh, I'm covered, no worries at all. Well, not so fast. Remember, your out-of-pocket cost, that's not covered by insurance. Now, that can be a lot of money for you and your family, but how do you know that you're not being overbilled? Now, it's estimated that over 50% of medical bills contain errors. Now, unless you're a billing expert, how do you possibly know that your medical bills are accurate? HealthLock, they can help. HealthLock is a healthcare technology company that securely connects with your insurance. That means when your medical claims come in, well, HealthLock technology reviews the claims for errors like overbilling, wrong codes, and fraud. And HealthLock makes it easy to find and fix any hidden errors so you only pay what you owe. And you can even have HealthLock work on your behalf to get money back from select past bills. Now, to date, HealthLock has helped its members save over, get this, $130 million. Bottom line is, insurance alone is not enough. Now, to save, just go to HealthLock.com. That's one word, HealthLock.com. Do it today before you see another healthcare provider.
All right, 25 now to the top of the hour. Toll free, our number is 800-941-SHAWN if you want to be a part of the program. All right, so we've all been following this sad, tragic shooting that took place on the set of this movie called Rust that was being filmed. Alec Baldwin in the movie. Anyway, he's responsible, and this young woman, I think you say her name is Halyna Hutchins, 42, and she has a young, apparently young children, died. There was another injured party in this case, apparently a ricochet bullet. They call it a prop gun. A prop gun isn't really a prop gun. It's a real gun, but it shoots blanks. And there are a whole series of protocols that are to be followed on the set of any movie. And now the question is, if, for example, people are beginning to speak up. The chief electrician says this death was the result of negligence and unprofessionalism. Now it's raising a lot of questions about potential legal consequences for Alec Baldwin. The worst case scenario, legal experts, for example, are suggesting that Baldwin could face an involuntary manslaughter charge if it's found to be reckless in the terms of handling of the weapon. The other issue that has now come to light is apparently there was a walk off the set by a number of union members because there were at least two accidental gun charges on this set prior to this moment when this woman, the cinematographer, was shot. And there were other discharges that had taken place on October the, I believe, 16th. And former crew members said that prompted a complaint to supervisors about the safety practices on the set. And then the crew members actually decided to walk out because they felt it was unsafe working conditions. It's apparently a low-budget film. The 911 calls came in, and here's two of them.
Santa Fe Fire and EMS, what's the location of the emergency?
Bonanza Creek Ranch had two people accidentally shot on a movie set by a prop gun. We need help immediately.
So was it loaded with a real bullet or one?
I cannot tell you that. We were rehearsing and it went off and I ran out. We all ran out. They were butt doubled over the AD and the camera woman and the direct and the f***ing AD that yelled at me at lunch because asking about revisions is motherfucker. Did you see him lean over my table and yell at me? He's supposed to check the guns. He's responsible for what happened.
Are you supposed to teach him now, Mimi?
No. I'm a script supervisor.
All right. Joining us now on the legal questions that may or may not exist, our friend Greg Jarrett. He, of course, has his own podcast. It's called The Brief. And, I think you agree with me. I can't get to, in spite of Alec Baldwin hating my guts, I always try to be true to the principle of due process, presumption of innocence until proven guilty. I just can't get. I can't get to the fact where I believe that he would in any way be part of something to shoot at an innocent woman such as this. It just doesn't make I can't get there. I don't believe that happened.
Well, I agree with you.
But with that said, you're pointing out in your column that there is legal liability potential here.
That's right. Because, Sean, even an accidental death can actually rise to the level of criminal homicide if it involves reckless acts or grossly negligent conduct, especially if the tragic consequence is reasonably foreseeable. As you point out, Three members of the film crew had reportedly stated there were two other accidental gun discharges on that very set days before the fatal shooting. That puts everybody in charge, including Alec Baldwin, as an on-location producer. It puts them on notice. There's a problem here. Did they immediately shut down operations and conduct an investigation to make sure this didn't happen again? You know, these are dangerous, lethal instrumentalities. Even if they're supposed to be used as a prop, they're real guns that are supposed to be filled with empty casings known as blanks. But, you know, what is confounding to me is that this low-budget film hired a very inexperienced armorer by the name of Hannah Gutierrez. This was her second film, and she was on a recent podcast saying essentially that, you know, she was worried about her inexperience, her lack of capability. You know, the armorer is the person who maintains the weapons, handles, secures them, loads them with blank cartridges, and she's supposed to check and double check the gun, and she's the one who's supposed to hand it to the actor, not the assistant director. So we're seeing here already that, you know, the rules, the standards and duties were breached, and that leads to things like involuntary manslaughter, which is a lack of due caution resulting in death.
So, but in most cases, when there's a firearm on the set of a movie, when the movie's being shot, there is one person whose job it is to ensure that this doesn't happen. And there was such a person, right?
Yeah.
That was identified here. Now, according to, we get mixed reports, but it has been reported by a number of sources that that Alec Baldwin was told that the gun is cold. Meaning that it only has blanks in it. And apparently he was rehearsing. And apparently he aimed at the camera where the cinematographer, I guess, was right behind the camera. And she's the one that got shot and got killed. Then there was a ricochet. And I think a director or producer, you know, got hit with the ricochet and thankfully is okay. But this woman's dead.
You know, look, there was a prior incident, so they're put on notice. Even if Alec Baldwin, the on-location producer, in addition to being the actor, was unaware of these prior gun mishaps, you know, he should have been aware of it. And a prosecutor would argue that a responsible director would have put procedures in place to make sure that such vital information about gun discharges was conveyed to him in his executive capacity overseeing the film. And failure to do so, Sean, is the kind of recklessness and negligence that the law forbids. When you accept an increased role, a responsibility for a production as a producer, that carries with it a corresponding increased duty to protect the employee. So while I agree with you that if Baldwin had no idea there was an actual bullet in the projectile in the gun, he can't be charged with murder, but he could be charged with a lesser offense of involuntary manslaughter for being negligent as a producer on location.
So where do you see this going here? I mean, what is the process now? I assume they're going to do a forensic investigation. I don't know if the shell casing is available, but I would imagine it would be, right? So they'll check for fingerprints. They'll do all the forensic, normal forensic police work that they would do. How do you prove negligence on this level?
Well, it's fairly obvious in many ways. For example, they will investigate and interview David Halls. He is the assistant director who picked up the gun off a cart, handed it to Baldwin, and yelled, "Cold gun." Where in the world did he get that information? He's not qualified to make that decision. He is not the one who is supposed to ever touch that firearm. It is supposed to be, under the standards in the industry, only the armorer who hands the prop guns and personally delivers them to the actor. So why did Hall, not Gutierrez, give the weapon to Baldwin? So there's negligence right there that seems fairly obvious. But what about Gutierrez, the armorer herself, who loaded the gun and is supposed to secure the gun? You know, she gave a podcast interview, and that interview will be used against her as nearly a confession that she was incompetent on the job. And so that's also criminal negligence. And, you know, I see this very similar to the 1982 filming of the Twilight Zone, the movie, actor Vic Morrow, two child actors killed. The director and several production managers and producers were charged with involuntary manslaughter. They were later acquitted by a jury.
They were.
That case represents a chilling reminder that so-called accidental deaths in movie making are still prosecutable as crimes.
All right, quick break. More with Greg Jarrett on the other side. 800-941-SHAWN is our number if you want to be a part of the program. All right, more with Greg Jarrett on potential legal liability for Alec Baldwin and those working on the set where this tragedy occurred late last week. It's going to be interesting, too, because, again, if this was a conservative, if it was Charlton Heston back in the day when he was the president of the NRA, I'm sure there would be a whole different take. And, of course, he'd be blamed for it. But there's somebody whose role it is to make sure that that's a real blank in that weapon. And what really bothers me, I guess, on top of everything is they should not have had live rounds there anyway. You know, if you bring a firearm into your house, it is a great responsibility. I've had a license to carry my whole adult life in Rhode Island, California, Alabama, Georgia, New York. I've carried weapons my entire life. And I have more fingerprint safes in every location than you'd ever imagine because I believe in gun safety first.
Yeah, I agree with you. I have, I'm bewildered that anyone would bring real ammunition to the set of a movie. Why? I mean, there's no reason for that. And yes, it's sort of a habit in the industry, and it's a bad one, to use real guns, but load them with blanks. And some, like Gutierrez, the armorer, was also using something else called dummy wads. They're different than blanks. They replicate the exact appearance of real bullets inside a gun cylinder. As if anybody, you know, watching a movie would actually see that through the cylinder. Is it possible that she just failed to distinguish between a dummy wad and a real bullet and confused herself when she loaded the gun? In other words, was this a totally preventable mistake that should never have happened had there been a knowledgeable and capable armorer instead of a 24-year-old neophyte who may not have even been licensed? Did this happen because it was a low-budget film and they're sacrificing the safety of the actors and the production crew to save money? All of these things will be part of the picture.
Well, I think there's two main things, though. I think the most damning information is they had two other incidents involving a real bullet, number one. Then you had the issue of the crew, I mean, the people that are union, walking off the job because of safety concerns. And that you had a problem with this very issue. So it wasn't dealt with. And they had an opportunity to deal with it. Now, maybe if the person really is knowledgeable in the use of firearms, you're in the desert in Santa Fe, and there might be a safe place for people to shoot, you know, real bullets at targets. But you would need great specific care to distinguish between a blank and a real bullet.
Yeah, you would. And you got to have somebody who's more experienced and knowledgeable and better trained than somebody who's 24 years old and self-taught, although she claims she learned some from her father, who is a licensed armorer and a stuntman. But,
right.
You know, that may not be good enough. And you can bet if charges are brought, the prosecutors will make that argument that this is a person who just wasn't competent or capable enough to be handling such dangerous instrumentalities with so many other innocent people standing nearby and failed to control the weapon itself, leaving it on a cart for the assistant director, who should never have touched the gun, to pick it up and assume that it was a cold weapon. That it was a deadly assumption.
Well, obviously. All right, we'll watch it closely, but it's certainly a little bit more complex than maybe we thought towards the end of this week. My guess is it sounds like a terrible series of horrible tragedies, and there were signs that this was going badly, and nobody stepped up to take control of the situation, which they should have.
That's right, and that's what makes it, you know, a criminally negligent.
That's where the legal side comes in, and that's where it gets interesting. Now, I don't think it happens because, of course, you're dealing with Democrats, and there's a whole different set of standards. But, you know, for everybody out there, whenever you hear these incidents where there is a firearm accident of some kind, you know, learn from it. You know, double down on your safety, and right. It doesn't hurt. One of the things I'll say to everybody is, wherever you go, whatever range you might go to, anybody you know that knows firearms, they are more than willing to spend as much time as you would like to make sure you are proficient in the safety and the handling of that firearm.
Right.
And I'm still learning from people, and I've been doing this since I'm 10 years old.
Right.
Anyway, appreciate it. We love you, Greg Jarrett. Thank you. Great analysis. 800. I know others. If this was me, I'm sure Alec Baldwin, Hannity's a murderer. Donald Trump's a Nazi. You know, the same thing that you always do. But you know, I'm just trying to give you the truth. And I'm hard pressed to believe that somebody, it's possible somebody could have done this on purpose. If so, we really need to get to the bottom of it. We need a full investigation.
Hollywood is under siege from an external force. Now, the same Hollywood that sold the American dream, they are now making nightmares a reality. Many major films make choices to appease the Chinese Communist Party to be distributed in China. Now you can join Tiffany Meyer, an investigative reporter, in the Hollywood Takeover brought to you by the Epoch Times, where she reveals how the CCP exerts control over some of the major studios. Now don't miss the most important documentary about Hollywood yet. And for a limited time, you can watch the first 10 minutes for free at HollywoodTakeover.com/Sean, S-E-A-N.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty. We're the Armstrong and Getty Show.
We cover the stories the mainstream media ignores. The
stories that are important to your life and important to the world.
The election, of course.
The many trials of Donald Trump.
Couple of wars.
Gender-bending madness.
Why are kids looking at so much social media?
And we bring you the stories the mainstream media is on.
But we do it without the left-wing media spin.
Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on America's number one podcast network, iHeart.
Open your free iHeart app and search the Armstrong and Getty Show to start listening.